This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Exciting episode, and we're so excited, aren't we, to be doing this recording?
I mean, honestly, I spoke to you just, I think it was actually at the weekend, and I was like, I am so excited for the guest that we have.
So we are, everybody will know Lisa. She has been gracing our screens for so long. Lisa, your career has been absolutely incredible, hasn't it? I think back to all the stuff you've done and everything that we've seen you in. Obviously, one of my favourites has got to be Fat Friends, because that is where I first met you. And obviously, you were acting alongside our brother James in that. But we're so grateful and we're so excited to welcome Lisa Riley onto Finding the Funny, everyone.
I am your number one fans, and you know that since day dot. I mean, remind me, what episode is this now? Do you know?
Yes, this, well, this is 38 or 39, okay. Episode 39.
Well, yeah. I have been loyal with a capital L. I mean, literally, I've been wanting to do this for ages, because I love it. You make me laugh. The world needs laughter, and you too, right? You're like, literally, it's like, oh, it's Wednesday. When you change days, I was really hurt, because I was like, you know, I'm like, I loathe change. I have severe, severe change issues, right? I was like, how dare they? My structure's gone. And then now I've readjusted, and I'm with you every Wednesday now, so now you're part of my Wednesday. But I'm I say to people at work, they are all over you like herpes, I'm telling you, right? Because they're like, yeah, we're getting home. And then we discuss it, and we love it. If we have a dingle day on set on a Thursday, it's like, get in, yes, because we can talk about it. And we have another Ruth on sound. She's on sound, right? She's amazing.
Ruth on sound. Yeah.
Rochdale. She's one of us, right?
Love her.
And literally we go like, no, did you hear about that? Oh my God. And like, your chocolate bars have gone on now. They're like historic. The chocolate bar chat, right? Because obviously we are girls of a certain age, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we're going to go way back.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And so Caramac makes me high. Like the thought of Caramac, it does enrich my life. And then I look at like Brad, who plays my son Emmerdale, like he's like 20, because I'm like, Caramac hasn't got a clue.
I am not a fan of a Caramac.
No, Ange wouldn't like that kind
it's
of
it's rich
vibe.
And drippy, and
rich and rich, I mean, and I do rich and drippy. I don't mind normally a lot of rich and drippy shit, but when it comes to Caramac,
love it.
Well, look, Lisa, I put up a question box on Instagram. We had so many questions. Honestly, it took me ages. And I've tried to cipher out the ones that I think will be exciting and, you know, informative. And then a little bit later on at the end of the show, we always finish with something more serious. And you have kindly said that you're happy to talk about kind of the grief that you've experienced in your life. But one of the big questions... Oh, hang on a second. Hang on. Ange, shall we do...
Le big question. With Riley.
Ruth, does your big sis know what happened about this? That's a big question. All right, so this is going to prove what a big fan I am, okay?
Okay.
So this started off probably about week 4 and 5, okay, right, when you first started. Now I'm in the shower, and of course it's a free house, so Al, my fiancé, is here. Shower doors open, the doors open, and I'm going, Ruth and Ange, finding the funny. Ruth singing a new jingle, right? And he's going, babes, what are you singing? I'm going, Ruth and Ange, finding the funny. He went, you're finding your funny, right? So I said, nothing, you're in the shower finding your funny, right? No, it's the jingle. But this, the more you listen to it, it sounds like finding the fanny. Of course, we're girls together.
Yeah.
And then, Rue, well, then, Ange, what happened? You then decided this new section, right?
Le big question.
I'm there. I'm listening to you. And so then I decide I'm laying in bed and I'm going, le big question. I'm going, le roux, le ange, le fond de le fanny. We're going global. So what I think was, I want all your listeners to do like a Eurovision, right, of the jingle, right?
The jingle.
And so we've started with English, we've gone French.
Yes.
Because let's go
where could we go next? Go global.
Yeah.
Literally, yes. Let's go global.
I think we definitely need to bring that in, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, we need to go global.
Happy Canadian as well, you know.
Like sure.
It's Ruth, it's Ange, they're finding their funny. You're full Canadian. Go global, girls. So we've got Canada now.
So funny. Oh my god. Okay, so one of the big questions we had for you, Lisa, was somebody asked how did you get into acting and how could they get into acting if they want to?
Oh, well, we've got to mention the C word, COVID, get it out of the way. At the moment, right, okay, I kind of knew from being very young that I was not a shy, retiring little child, you know. My mum was never, ever the kind of what I call the Les Mis mum, the pushy mum, getting her, you know, on my own. She wasn't that. She was just my rock. And what happened was, it's a gospel truth story, when I was 9, she went to parents' evening and all the mums after, there was like a tea and biscuits bit after parents' night. And they're all sat around going, oh, my Toby's watching Danger Mouse. Oh, yeah, my Samantha's watching Danger Mouse. Oh, my Katie's watching Danger Mouse. And my mum came home and she's like, darling, are you watching Danger Mouse? I was like, oh, no, it's boring. It's not real. And there's me sat in the window with a baby guitar thinking I'm Audrey Hepburn singing Moon River. Right?
Yes, well, I'm a weird, yes, mate. You
know, I'm not your regular kid watching Danger Mouse that my kids of my era were doing. So she spoke to various people in the area and Oldham Theatre Workshop, which is like the North's version of Sylvia Young's. Was basically holding open auditions. And at 9, I went and hurrah, I got in. And please, I'm not a name dropper, but here she goes. She's going to drop the bomb.
Do it.
Really proud. There's, you know, Anna Friel, Saran Jones.
Clang.
Andy Cotton, you know, Clash, Boom, sisters. You know,
yes, sister.
Our year group were kind of. I'm proud of it. Yeah, I am.
Yes, and yeah. Teammate.
What happened was, I think at Oldham Theatre Workshop, I'm so proud of from being so young, were all the kids that were going into children's ward. If you remember back then, all that.
Yeah, I do. Remember that. Yeah,
early Coronation Street, Brookside days.
Yeah,
and. Our kids from Oldham were never tits and teeth kids. We weren't.
I don't like the jazz hands.
She's a West End Wendy over there. She's definitely a Wendy.
No, I can't.
As she paints herself green as Elphaba. But... that's where it all started. And through that, I played Judy Dench's role in Oh What a Lovely War, and I got an agent because they'd seen me at Oldham Coliseum in the musical. And the rest is history. Of course, I did, obviously, when you're in a soap, everyone kind of knows who you are and they find out who you are. I'd worked so much doing loads of other TV stuff before Emmerdale. Mm. And I suppose getting Emmerdale, and then here I am at 44 and kind of ticked every creative box I ever want to tick.
The reason why
I started saying the COVID world is, at the moment, girls, it's so hard out there.
Oh, I can imagine.
Right, yeah. I've got best friends, you know, West End Wendy's. One of my dearest friends was about to go into the 9-month tour of Jamie the Musical. Wow. With her contract, she had the hotels along the way. She gave up her London flat.
Oh,
and of course,
gosh.
Boom, she's homeless overnight. She's got nothing and nowhere to go. And no fallback. There's no work out there.
No.
And the really high-end talent are really struggling at the moment to get. I mean, I am so blessed being in a continuing drama. I count my blessings every day.
Yeah.
Even at the point, if people whinge at work, I go, come on, guys, get a freaking grip. Come on.
Yeah.
It's a tough world out there.
It's interesting as well, because, you know, James is obviously incredibly lucky that, you know, he could have easily been just about to start a film or just about to start a play.
And,
you know, you know, as an actor, your career is ever diverse, isn't it? And you want that because you want to be able to show that you're, you know, you've got different skills and different strings to your bows. But he often says, I am so lucky that I am in a job that has been able to continue. We've been able to put measures in place, although it's been difficult, like, because I think the arts has been the forgotten section of this whole pandemic, you know.
Oh, completely. Like, honestly, you know, I'm engaged to a musician. He has his industry's been destroyed by COVID, and you know, he's not proud. He's, you know, he's worked his ass off. He's been delivering. Yeah. He's doing 12-hour-a-day delivering jobs. Yeah. You know, he's earning money, bringing the dollar in.
Yeah.
Because that's what the arts have been. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I said it's the crumbling of the arts. And that's the best way to describe it. But the good thing is, it's us that are working. We've got a voice and a trampoline for other people to keep pushing and going.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw that brilliant BBC did it with Sheridan and all the musicals.
Yeah, that was amazing.
The West End.
You know,
thing, yeah.
Sunday night, and it got like 5.25 million viewers. I know. Didn't that show how many people wanted it? You know? Yeah.
And how much it's missed. How many people miss that, you know, being able to go to the theatre and be able to go and watch shows?
Totally.
And, yeah,
my only fear when people say about how do you get in the industry, I want to get in the industry, is there also is, and I'm so honest, me, I would never BS anybody. You two know that about me more than anybody. And I wouldn't want to give people false hope. There's a lot of fame game at the moment. The past sort of 6 or 7 years, it's people kind of want fame and fame quick.
Yeah.
Whereas me and your brother, we wanted to act. We've all from a very young age. We wanted to act
Totally.
You know, work with different writers, work with different directors, create those roles, find a reason why we're being those roles.
Yeah.
Not just to think, oh, I'm going to be on Heat magazine front cover. That's not what it's about.
No, exactly. You know?
It's about our craft. Yeah, and moulding your craft together.
And there is a craft, isn't there? You know, like, obviously on a much smaller scale and there's no comparison, but, you know, Ange and I have been plugging away at this now for, like, you know, coming up 8, 9, 10 months. And you actually forget, I think, how it seems like such an industry of like, oh, if I can just get to that stage, I'll be famous or whatever. But it's hard work. What you guys do, you know, especially on a continuing drama like Emmerdale, you know, rolling out shows 4 or 5 times a week, you know, like, I can't imagine what it must have been like within COVID to be on a continuing drama and how you must have had to adapt you know, kind of change the way you work. Incredible, really, that you've managed to keep going.
I still, like, I'm in shock what we did. And Emmerdale, I've got to flag it, we were first. And, that, you know, I'm happy about that. I'm proud of that.
Yes, Emmerdale.
But it's when I'm doing my weekly shopping, people say, why are you studying a triangle talking? And I'm going, well, we're studying the triangle now because we can't be 2 metres. Vinny's your son. Yeah, but I'm Lisa and that's Bradley.
Yeah.
And so for the sake of us, right, and also the 17, 18 crew members that stuck around us, it's like, yeah, but it's weird, you're studying a triangle, you're fine, you're studying a triangle. No shit, Sherlock. Yeah, that's because we're in a pandemic.
That's because,
you know?
That's because bloody coronavirus is on tour, love.
Yeah, so we've got very, very artistic now with the camera angles. They can make us look like we're a lot, lot closer.
Yeah.
But things like when we did the proposal episode with the Grease, when Amanda had to sing, that was all pre-recorded, my vocals, so I mind. When we shout at people, we shout to no one, we shout to a pillow, so they'll shoot the shot. So say I'm like, how dare you do that? Right? Mm. When we shoot it, right, I'm actually, there's no one there on my close-up because you can't, because the spittle, And the new thing now is, which is kind of hard, and dependable when you transmit this episode, but we've got a lot of emotion. We wear our masks on set, inside and out, right up until the take.
Okay.
So, again, going back to how we learn our craft, right? Basically, you feed off each other. You look in your fellow actor's eyes and you go, that's how you make yourself cry. And that's been very hard for me. And then you look at drama school, you go, they haven't taught this at drama school.
No,
how to work under pandemic.
That.
You know.
Well,
testament to all my colleagues. And, you know, I'm lucky that my bubble, my sort of core 6 actors that I work with all the time, I bloody adore them. I would eat them. I love them that much. And, you know, as hard as it is for us and the crew, I personally, you know, I'm like, I make it a laugh every day.
Oh,
because
you got
we're making it fast, the show.
Yeah.
But you've got to have that giggle and that daft.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of daft in the Dingle House, a lot of daft energy, you know?
Yeah.
And we all bounce off each other, and I love that.
Lise, we also had a really lovely question in. So this message says, when Lisa starred on Strictly Come Dancing, she mentioned in an interview that her mum gave her the gift of confidence. This has stuck with me since, and I've always wondered how you give someone the gift of confidence and what Lisa's mum did for her to kind of give her that gift.
Oh, look at me, I'm not filling up now, right? Literally, I've been brought up all my life, never ever be fake. And in my industry, there can be a lot of fake and a lot of BS. And I run very fast away from anything or anybody that is that, because it makes me embryotic. I go fetal, right, when I see people being like, oh, what how you'd say showbiz.
Yes.
I can't abide it. The good ones in this industry are the ones that aren't that, in my learning anyway. And I remember I got the call, and then I went for the meeting. I went for my third meeting, and I came home. Bear in mind, mum was really dying at this point. Mm. She was in the real latter end, the palliative care. We had the Macmillans, you know, all this was going on. And I was like, Mum, I don't know. And she went, darling, forget about Strictly Come Dancing. It's Strictly Come You. Mm. Don't worry about you've got rhythm. You've got what it takes, but just be you. And that's what she said. She went, and that's how you'll win it. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, that's how you're going to win it. And then you look back at me and Robin, and it wasn't really about what we did on that dance floor. Could I move? Yes. Yeah. Did I pick up the steps? Yes. Have I got rhythm? Yes. However, the VTs of me and Robin just being like Will and Grace like Will and Grace. That's what got us so far, you know, because I couldn't be. I remember, you know, like behind the camera when the producer's like, right, so, you know, you're nearly there, so, you know, you want to be competitive. I went, don't make me competitive. No. I'm not. And for the VT, like trying to make me competitive, that isn't who I am. No. And I can't be that. I just wanted to go out and have a laugh. Put a really sparkly outfit on and shimmy my tits off.
Yes, you know? It's interesting, actually. It's interesting you say that, because somebody sent me a message. We just came in today and they said, I don't know when you're talking to Lisa, but it's not a question, but can you just thank her? Because when she was on Strictly, it made me realise that I could absolutely follow my dreams and anything was possible.
Yeah,
so I think everything that you're talking about and what you tried to embody within Strictly, obviously, I mean, I loved it when you were on it, but, you know, to get messages like that, it came across. People watched you and thought, God, I can do anything. Like, I can get up in the morning and I can have the confidence. And I suppose that comes back to what your mum said to you about just being you.
Being me. And then I always, obviously, before, when the cast get announced, it's a little bit different now, but in my year, you had 5 weeks before you actually recorded the first show. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was reading all these messages and stuff online and remembering what Mum had told me. And we started learning privately with Robin. And you had all the horrible messages out there going, oh, you know, oh, it's that fat fucker from Emmerdale. She'll be crap. Yeah. She'll be crap.
Yeah.
Now, that was a food to me. The more I read, she'll just be another Anne Widdecombe. She'll be an Anne Widdecombe, right? Mm. Will I?
Yeah.
All right. You can. And then next thing, sorry, Sweet Cheeks, who's on the front cover of every single paper after my first dance? Riley was.
Yeah, Riley.
Because I also, that went on the first dance and it was like, Robin said, you know, we need a big finish. I said, well, I'll lift you. He said, no, you can't. It's not in the rule book. I went, I'm lifting you.
Yes.
And I have gone down in Strictly history as the only female to have lifted the ball.
Yes, that's what you get with Ryan.
They ain't going to tell me no rules. I'm not doing no rules, boy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's just amazing, because I think people had you pegged, didn't they, as to what you were going to be, like you've just said. She's not going to be able to do it. She's
John Sargent.
Yeah.
She's going to look stupid. It's, you know, you can't. And this is the thing, isn't it? It's like that age message that says you can't be fat and there's so many ands. You can't be fat and dance. You can't be fat and be sexy. You can't be fat and, you know, society has taught us that fat and the word sexy or dancing or attractive don't go together. And you totally stuck two massive fingers up at that and basically said, come on then, bring it on. I'll show you what it means.
Well, you said sexy there, Ruth, as well. I have never felt as bloody sexy as I did on Strictly.
You bloody look.
When I did Madonna's Hanky Panky Dick Tracy, I was like, ooh, check out these Nellies and these curves.
Check out these bad boys,
It's true, yes.
But I think as well, Lise, I think going back to your chat about the whole acting thing, I think the thing with you is that people know how genuine you are. Like, there's no facade. There's no. Oh, I'm kind of this person when I'm doing this, but I'm someone else. You know, so I think that's what people see and love is actually what the Lisa you get on the TV screen is the same Lisa you'll meet on the street, in the supermarket, wherever. And I think that speaks volumes to people, that kind of genuine person that you are. And I just think you're bloody great.
I remember in Fat Friends when I met you in that hotel in Leeds. I don't know if you remember, Lisa. I remember the very first time I met you. And you were like, to me, I was like, oh my God, Lisa Riley, she's so famous. Oh my God, this is amazing. And
sticking your mouth.
I just remember like meeting you and just thinking, oh, wow.
She's like Beryl from Greggs. She's just like Beryl from Greggs.
Beryl.
In fact, no, she's like Yvonne. She's like Yvonne from Debenhams. You know where I go at Christmas? Isn't she just like Yvonne? I get that in the street. Oh, you like my friend? I just like her. Yeah, you like Trudy. You know, she works on Quick Fit, on reception at Quick Fit. Trudy, you're just like Trudy. She's normal as well. She's proper normal. My favourite ever. No, I promise I'll stop. Just one more, I promise, right? But someone said to me, do you mind if I F-bomb? Can I have one more F-bomb?
Fuck away, mate. Yeah, fuck away. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Thank you, my dog. So basically, someone said, it's like, I'm 44. They said, there's no fucking, honestly, there's no fucking realism in this world like you. I was like, what? They said, you're just like driving, right? So I said, what do you mean? She said, you're the stick. You don't change like them other fuckers who're going first gear for some people and second gear for other people. No, you are you. You're a stick. I'm like, wow, I've never had that in my life.
Now, that is a compliment, Lise. You're a stick.
That is a compliment. I'm a central stick of the driving. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Love it.
Anyway, look, we wanted to do some of our normal, like, segments with you.
Segments.
So we thought we'd have a little chat about things that get on our shitting tits.
Oh, yes, please.
Now, we had a little chat on the phone the other day, Lisa, and you told me a brilliant one that gets on your shitting tits. And I think Ange will find this really funny.
Oh, so, my God, it chronically gets on my... Look, I've got a shoulder growl going on that no one can see. It makes me go like that. People who have, on Instagram, balloon photograph parties for how many bloody followers they have.
Oh, like, yes! Oh, yes!
Oh, fuck off! Why do people identify with how many followers? Why does it care? Why does it matter? I don't care if you've got... No. Do you know what? I love you more if you have got 3 followers than those bloody unicorn cakes, right?
Yes,
with
mate.
1 million and some balloons.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It makes my blood boil, right?
Yes,
because nowadays, honestly, it's like, and I have it at work all the time. People go, yeah, but have you seen her, right? She's got like 3.2 million. I don't know who she is. Do I care that much? No, zero, none.
Lise.
Why do people identify? Why does it matter?
Honestly, I am so pleased you've said that because I have said that exact same thing to Patty before. Like, what is wrong with people? And actually, I think, Patty, when we had that chat before, you said that when I get to 10,000 and I get my blue tick,
oh, cringe.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have my own balloon party. And I said, you are an absolute
Rudy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, Lise.
I'm not gonna have a balloon party. I do think the balloon thing is weird, but I do get hung up on followers. I do.
You do.
Can I ask you a question? Is that because you want to get free shit?
Yes, yes. I'll answer for her. Yes. It is.
Yes. As I said to her on the phone, right, she wants encrusted free flannels with a name on it, right, that she can go woo and waft that free flannel, right, that you'll never use that flannel, ever. You've just wafted it on Instagram to see how many followers you've got.
Okay, yeah. So I think for me, I think there's been this rise, hasn't there, in like, I don't know. I get quite hung up. I can get quite in quite a bad mood if I check my followers and they've gone down quite a lot. I can actually get quite moody about it.
She does.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, at least you're owning it, but that's dickish and that, nobbish. That's nobbish.
You fit
that's
in.
Nobbish as well.
You fit in both brackets there, love. Yeah.
But I am getting better and I have sort of now come to the point where I'm like, oh, I don't really give a shit.
No.
The thing that I'm the most passionate about now is this. I just want this to do really, really well. I just want us to continue. But I I may have thought at some point a balloon party might be something I do, but I've left that.
You've reined that in now, mate.
If you do a marble unicorn cake, yeah, our friendship is over.
Yeah,
that's like one balloon, right? But none of them marble cake things with numbers on top. But let me ask you, right? Do you think now we're in a dawn of, like, basically, for example, if I was to hold a mug up on my Instagram of a photograph, like a selfie, does that now read that I'm promoting that mug, or is it just me and a mug?
I think most people look at it and go, she's promoting something there.
Exactly. Yeah. And may God strike me down on my mum's life, right? Never, and believe me, I get offered a lot of free
ads. Oh, yeah, I can well imagine. Right?
I have not once in my life promoted anything. I get sent stuff. Now, if I like it, right,
yes,
then of course I'll say, oh, this is good. I've tried. The other thing that really knocks me is when they've never used it. They're just tapping it, right?
Oh, yeah. That does annoy me.
A body oil, well, it's like, how do you know it's working, this body oil, if you haven't used it maybe 7 times?
Exactly.
You know, then we know it works, you know.
Yeah.
But the word influencer, literally, for me, if there was the biggest vat of Tippex in this world, right, it would be, just throw it over the word influencer.
At least,
you know what you want to influence?
Zero.
Zip it.
Lise, do you know what? I just love the fact that you're saying this shit, because I am 100% with you on all that influencing shit. Patty, sometimes she likes the influencing shit and wants to be an influencer.
No, I don't want to be an influencer. I.
She's partial to a free lip liner.
We always try and finish the episode with something a bit more serious. And Lisa, I know that you've spoken so much before about your mum and just, firstly, how important and special she was to you, but also how you've sort of managed your grief of, you know, you've been such a public figure, I think, of somebody who said, God, this was so hard, and you've spoken so amazingly about it that a lot of the questions we had in for you were about managing grief. And we get a lot of those sort of questions, don't we, Ange? And it's so hard for Ange and I, because we're
don't
still
have
in the
experience.
Very fortunate position
that
we haven't got experience of it. And I think we're both really aware of talking about something so personal when we haven't really experienced it ourselves. So we've just got a few questions about grief, and we'll just ask them, and, you know, however much you want to share obviously is up to you.
Yeah, but, no, I'll say everything. Yeah.
Most of the people asked to remain confidential, I think for obvious reasons, because it's quite a difficult time. But somebody said, my dad passed away in 2018. How do you cope with the bad days of grief?
Firstly, it's self-owning it, and that's taken me a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I have spoken openly, and I was never, ever, ever for one second an alcoholic. But I do know when mum first passed, you know, a large bottle of red was a great comfort blanket.
Yeah.
The doctors offered me all sorts of medication, tranquilizers, you name it, Zopaclones. Yeah. I said no, and I've never to this day done that. If you want to do that, fine.
Yeah.
If that's your comfort blanket, you do what is right for you. Don't be judged. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. You are dealing with this on your own and for yourself. The problem that I had the most was when people want to help. And that's a natural thing.
Yeah.
And they always go, what can I do to help? And this, you're inundated with messages of people wanting to help you. The best thing to do is to stand back as the bestest friends, because trust me, we will come to you, right? Because what happens is the people that haven't been through it, right, start, and this happened to me a lot, it started to aggravate me, because I was like, you don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. You have no, don't pretend to. And it was like my bestest friends, you know, wanting to, and of course I said sorry after, and of course they understood. But you have to go through that path. And the biggest advice I can give anybody today is go through the period of, which is what I call the why period. You say, why me? Why have you taken my mum? My mum was one of God's best, was one of the most human, funny, best person. My mum didn't have a bad bone in her body. Why did you take my mum at 58? Why did mum survive all those years with that tumour after a mastectomy? Mm. And she fought and fought. Why did you take my mum? Mm. And you compare so much. Mm. Like you say, oh, look at these criminals and look at that. Go through that path. Mm-hmm. Please take that on board. You have to, because that, it calms your head.
Yeah.
And even to this day, day in, day out, I write down everything I feel.
Right?
Day and night. Oh yeah. And it's not a journal, it's just my little pad. It's my little pad. And I've on Instagram and via Twitter, because I'm inundated myself with people asking how to cope. Mm. And the pleasure I get, right, when people have said, Lise, thanks so much for telling me to write that down. Huh. And then to go back at one night after I've had a bath and reread it. And even though I felt really soppy or I felt really silly, it makes sense to me. Mm. And that's, you've got to do it for you on your own, because it will make sense to you. And even like my brother, my brother is my world. I love my brother. You know, I'm 7 years older than him. And there's times when we can talk about mum, and I know he'll deal with his way and I'll deal with my way. Mm-hmm. And you respect one another, but you know from each other how you're feeling, and you can sense that, and just sense people around you are there for you when they want it.
Yeah.
Or if not, just do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Please, please. Yeah.
One, actually, please. Lise, on the back of what you've just said there about your brother, one of the questions we had in from someone, he or she said, my sisters and I lost our mum when I was 17, and I love to talk about her, but they struggle with this. How can I grieve whilst respecting them too? And that kind of is what you were saying there about how you and your brother obviously have grieved in very different ways and still do to a certain extent, I suppose.
Completely. It's like a lot of my dearest friends. Let's take January 10th, for example, mum's birthday, okay? Mm. So I get so many WhatsApps, you know, they all know it's mum's birthday. And maybe I put something on my Twitter, for example, I'm with you. Whereas Liam, sort of the week into the 10th of January, in the week out, he goes insular, he goes silent. Mm. And don't get me wrong, Ange, by day five of that, it starts making me itch going, What's the matter with you? Why are you okay?
Yeah.
And it frustrates me. Now, I do think my brother's a lot luckier than I am in that, because Liam's got the kids, like Jakey, Josh, and Evelyn, right? I love the way, and I see him the way he talks about Nana Kath, and it's Nana Kath, and when it you know, it was Evelyn's second birthday, they let the balloon off for Nana Kath, you know, and on Christmas Day we get a present from heaven. From Nana Kath, you know, and that's, I know, and it really matters, you know. And like we said this in Mum's Eulogy, and I hope this helps other people, talk as if they're there. Don't talk like they're not there. You know, when we talk about Nana Kath at home, at Liam and with my dad, you know, she's there, you know, and we're able to tell stories, because obviously she was still alive. Jakey was born in the September, and of course she passed then in the following July. Mm-hmm. And we have a beautiful picture of her reading a Mr. Men book to Jakey as a baby. And Jakey now, he's mm-hmm. he's not getting nearly 10, and he always goes, that's mine and my nana's book, you know. Oh. Now that for me, that's the best medicine that anybody, that photograph that I've got, that of Jakey, with my mum, is the best picture ever, because it's like, I don't want this to sound silly, but for me it's a bit like my mum lives on in Jakey.
Yeah.
And I love that. Oh. I love that.
Oh, Lise.
Sorry.
Honestly, I'm sorry. Hearing you talk like that, just like like we said at the top, you know, I still have my parents, and I can't even begin to imagine how that feels to lose your mum, and the way you talk about her, and your brother, and the way you remember her and make sure she's still part of your lives is just beautiful. I think absolutely beautiful.
But I think, you know what, Lisa, I think that is so comforting, and it's because I think, you know, one of the things that I love about the way you've talked about your grief and your mum is that she is ever present when you talk about her. Like, she is ever there. Mm. And I think that is so, that's so comforting for people who have gone through grief, you know, parents are so special, aren't they, to so many of us. But you, I feel like when you talk about your mum, I know her.
Yeah.
And that is one of the most wonderful things I think you've done with your grief, is that you have maintained this ability to make her ever real and ever present.
Yeah.
And not forgotten. And you know, it's been so many years now, but she is still such an alive memory for you. I know that. Yeah. She is such a heart-beating memory for you.
Yeah.
And she's your greatest cheerleader. I know that even though she isn't physically here, she is still your greatest cheerleader. And I think that's wonderful the way you've managed to do that.
Oh, bless you. I've done it, honestly. I've said it to myself. Like, I've had, you know, when I've had really beautifully, beautifully written scenes on, for example, say on Emmerdale, and I'll go like that, and I'll learn it, and I'll go, oh, I want to do her proud still. I do. And every room in my house, bar the three toilets, is a picture of my mum. She's not in the box. Yeah, but she's in every single room in my house. Yeah. And I like that. You know, I'm my family, like you two, my family are living blood. They're my everything.
Yeah.
You know, stop everything. But my family, oh, everything.
Mm. Has that taken, like, has that taken you time? Like, you know, you don't just get where you are now, years on. Like, how have you gotten to that? But have you always felt like you do now about her and about how you keep her alive and how you, or has it been a real kind of, I don't know, topsy-turvy ups and downs kind of process?
Yeah. It's different. It's different daily and weekly, because there's some days when I just want to speak to her. I just want to pick up, you know. And I've got mum on my phone, and I'll never get rid of it. Every time I get up and grab my handset, I've got mum on my phone, you know. And my dad's, you know, when my dad's mum and dad's house, obviously we're still together when mum passed. You know, it comes up every time my dad's ringing. There's mum's house.
Oh.
You know, not even mum and dad's house. It's mum's house. You know, always. Yeah, there's times, and I'm human, you know, there's days where I don't want to get up. Yeah. I don't want to get up, you know, and like Mother's Day, for example, I'm so glad now that like companies send emails saying, would you like to opt out? That's so beautiful. Because I don't want to be, you know, smothered with Pandora commercials and buying my bangle. No, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I had my mum for all that time, and I have to remember that. But I also have to remember that there's brilliant mums out there that need shouting and celebrating, you know, because we can still say that about my mum. But, oh, God, Ange, there's been days where I've been like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to live anymore. Yeah. I don't want to be here anymore, because I can't be with my mum. And, you know, and I always remember, like, when we, especially like at the BAFTAs for Three Girls. It's just like, of all the things, and I said, Mum, one day, just one day, I'll get a BAFTA, one day.
Oh,
and we won six that night. And that night, I have never, ever felt more of a presence that she was with me.
Yeah.
Right? Because everything she said, no matter what, when it goes back to what we're saying about just be you with the Strictly, she was like, you will get there one day, darling. Oh. You will get there, you know, in a very, you know, tough industry.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that night was the most electric feeling of my mum.
Really?
Never, ever to be forgotten. Oh. I said to Dad, I was like, Dad, seriously, I can die happy now.
I can die happy.
Well, listen, what I mean...
You've made me cry, laughing and crying. Oh,
me too, me too.
Anyway, listen, thanks so much for listening, everyone. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. I feel like this is, what a brilliant episode.
Yeah.
And, Andrew and I will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny. Yeah.